You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison. Hey everybody, are you ready for a high-energy good time? I hope so, because you're listening to Nerd Overload, your favorite pop and geek culture show. I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Cody.
We have a great show for you. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of things to talk about. But first, let's get into some things we've been checking out. The elephant in the room is Captain Marvel.
Let's get that out of the way.
Let's talk about that. That's a rude thing to call her.
Oh, that's not what I meant. But no, yeah, let's talk about Captain Marvel a little bit. Before the show, Josh, you said you hadn't seen it yet, so I don't know how...
You still haven't seen it? Oh, man.
I was out of town all weekend.
They have movie theaters all over the United States.
I was out of town.
Beating people with foam swords.
Yeah, in like knee-deep mud.
But anyway, we should... So we'll get in some light spoilers, but we won't ruin the whole thing for you.
You mean Goose the movie?
Yeah. But no, Cody, okay. What'd you think?
I liked it a lot. Didn't super love it, but it was good. I would recommend seeing it.
Yeah, same here. I would definitely recommend it as well. I tell you what, when I came out of the theater, thought it was excellent. The more I've kind of thought about it, the more I've kind of... started kind of thinking about, maybe this, maybe that. But, like, definitely, like, definite top third of the Marvel films.
Yeah.
Not, like, super, super Winter Soldier Avengers movie level, but pretty high up there.
If it would have came out 10 years ago when it should have, it would have been phenomenal.
It would have, yeah. I think everyone in the movie did a pretty great job. Special props to all like the supporting characters. Like
Nick Fury was great. And the special effects to make him younger were very good.
Oh man, yeah.
Didn't take you out of any scene. It always worked.
It was crazy how...
Probably the best job they've ever done of that I've seen in a movie. Mm-hmm. Definitely blew young age Jeff Bridges from Tron out of the water.
See, I was going to say Patrick Stewart from X-Men 3. But same concept.
Oh, that was terrible. Oh, yeah. That scene looked terrible.
Young Leia in Rogue One that made you feel weird. It's like, oh man, that's so cool. It's also kind of weird.
you mean Peter Cushing showed up?
No, that one was all right.
Did you know that the way they got the model for Peter Cushing's head was they had to make a cast mold of Peter Cushing for the movie Top Secret, the Zucker Brothers movie with Val Kilmer from the 80s? Peter Cushing was in one scene and they had to make like a plaster mold of his head. So what they did was they found the original mold and like digitally scanned it.
Oh, nice.
And that's how they got that. Yeah, yeah.
And I know they also found an actor who had about the same build and height.
About the same build and height, yeah. Yeah, well, they had to. But no, back to Captain Marvel.
Now that we've talked about Top Secret.
Now we've talked about Top Secret, I mean, hey.
That's why you come here,
don't kid yourself.
Yeah, you know what? There are some people online that are like, oh, who's going to win, Captain Marvel or the other Captain Marvel?
And it's
like,
not a contest.
It's not a contest. They're two very different movies.
We're allowed to have two different movies.
We can enjoy things. Yeah. We can enjoy all things. It's cool.
Let's hope they're both good. Yeah. And then we can have two good times.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I thought the CG looked like most Marvel movies. The CG special effects looked really good, except for the one or two half second blips where it didn't.
Like most Marvel movies.
Like most Marvel movies. There were a couple spots where Goose was definitely a cartoon.
Yeah.
And not like the parts where he's supposed to be like unhuman.
There was no parts that look straight up awful like in Infinity War. Nobody talks about that. But there's a couple shots with Bruce Banner in the Hulkbuster that are just like the most god-awful worst things I've ever seen.
See, that's the thing with Marvel movies. It's like they get like 85, 90% of the way with their CG, and then there's like one or two scenes where they're just like, eh, screw it. Yeah, well, my big thing is Black Panther, that scene where they're fighting for like to see who's going to be the ruler of Wakanda, and they do a panning shot of the people up on the mountain, like cheering them on.
Yeah.
And you look at it for a half a second, and like they're practically PlayStation 2 models. Any less graphical detail, they might as well have been T-posing, just standing there,
on the cliff,
arms straight, like just kind of shimmying back and forth a little bit.
It's like whoever does it, like, doesn't catch things that they're supposed to do a second pass on.
Yeah.
Because that's what that Bruce Banner in the Hulkbuster looks like. They just needed to do another pass on it, and it would have been fine, but...
Yeah, that's what makes me kind of wonder what's going to be the thing that kind of is lacking in Endgame.
Yeah.
Unless they throw out all the stops for Endgame, which they very well could be.
I mean, look at Howard the Duck in there.
Oh, let's hope so.
Let's hope so.
Did you catch Kelly Sue DeConnick?
I did.
Yeah. She's in there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Saw
Samantha
her.
Samantha and I both went, it's Kelly Sue.
I liked the couple of Stan Lee things. The beginning made me tear up a little bit.
Yeah, it was very touching.
That was very touching. And then
his cameo was hilarious.
With the Mallrats script. Yeah, that was great.
Was it about the things Orange Rock?
No.
No, he was just saying Face Front True Believers over and over or something like that.
He was practicing for his role in Mallrats.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, he was sitting there with the script on the bus or something.
With the logo on it and everything.
Oh, it was great.
I was very tickled.
That was very, very good.
Mallrats was one of my favorite movies back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Same here.
I feel like it probably hasn't aged well, but I don't want to go back and watch it and ruin my... I'd rather just keep the memory I have of it in my head.
Same with Chasing Amy. I remember Chasing Amy being a good movie. I'm afraid that if I watch it now, it's not going to be a good movie.
I always thought Chasing Amy was one of the weaker ones in the canon.
Yeah, well, it was very much his attempt at making an art house movie.
Yeah.
But it's still a Kevin Smith movie. It is the weakest of the New Jersey trilogy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he also wrote it because he was jealous of the guys that Joey Lauren Adams had dated before him.
Yeah.
That's like the impetus for that script anyway. Do we want to get into a tiny, tiny bit of spoilers? I don't want to go through and like hit the movie beat for beat or anything, but we should probably at least talk a little bit about some of the stuff. So fair warning.
Yeah.
We're going to talk some.
A little bit. Not little really. Bit. I like what they did with the Skrulls. Can we just keep it that way?
I liked how they handled the Skrulls. I liked the...
It's not how you expect.
Yeah. I liked Talos, the head Skrull. There was some really funny stuff. Yeah. Really good stuff.
I liked him, but it also felt like they were trying to do Taika Waititi style Thor Ragnarok comedy.
There were some shots in that film that it looked almost as if they had gone... You know how in Justice League, they had to go back and reshot some things to add comedy?
Yeah.
There were some scenes in this movie that definitely seemed as though they went back after the fact and punched it up with some comedy
scenes. Except they were actually funny, unlike Justice League.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Yeah. What?
I think that might be part of the thing that I had with Carol in this film, because one of the things that I kind of noticed after kind of watching it and letting the movie kind of sink in a little bit, there was a definite kind of discrepancy between one scene she would be like, I don't know what a blockbuster is because I don't know what Earth is. And the next scene she's making period type quips.
I wonder if it's just her memories slowly coming back and they just don't go right out and explain it.
In universe, maybe that's the case. But I think in the actuality, like outside of, I think the real reason was because they went back and punched some scenes up with some comedy.
Like they did it with Doctor Strange.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, and it happens. It just seemed a little, it worked, but it seemed a little more apparent in this one.
Yeah.
I think.
That was my only problem with the Skrull guy is like, you seem like you fell out of Thor Ragnarok.
Which, I mean, okay, I
love Thor Ragnarok.
It's good. Yeah. It's not really a complaint. It's just that it kind of stuck out a little.
I wish the movie was a little more of its own thing.
It would have benefited from being a little more divorced from the... I understand that they wanted to make her like the linchpin for Endgame, but it seemed like everything they did was basically, hey,
remember
this next one, this next movie is going to be great.
Just let Carol stand out. Let it be her movie.
Yeah. And I need to see this movie again because there are a couple things that I kind of want to go back and kind of refresh myself on and either reaffirm some of the feelings that I have for it now or like kind of go back and go, oh, okay, maybe I can let this slide. But it seemed, how do I want to put this? Okay. So, you know, when Wonder Woman came out, and it was this amazing movie, not just in general, but like it was really good for young female superhero fans of all ages.
Well, my mom said after she came out that she liked the movie, but it didn't give her this like rah-rah women feeling that Wonder Woman did.
See, that's what I was getting at. Yeah. I think this one did to an extent, but I think Wonder Woman did it effortlessly. Like it did it without having to like really like hammer home like the
They didn't have stuff. To play a Gwen Stefani song over a fight scene. Is what
right.
You're saying.
Right. Like what Wonder Woman was able to do effortlessly. It seemed as though Marvel was trying
And it was very clear that they were trying.
I hate to pit two female-led superhero movies against each other.
Me too, and that's not what I'm doing here.
But it just kind of happens. Like, I was doing the same thing when it came out, and I'm like, well, I liked Wonder Woman better, and then I'm like, they can both
exist. And, you know, I'm not arguing that you have to pick one or the other. Yeah. It's just, I think when it comes to being a positive role model for female comic and superhero fans, I think Wonder Woman did it more organically. And I think succeeded better where Captain Marvel didn't.
It was a better movie. It kind of was.
Yeah, it kind of was. And I think the other thing, and this could be more tied in with the, for lack of a better way of putting it, the controversy that came out surrounding Captain Marvel. But I, at some points, got certain vibes that the Ghostbusters remake gave me about, I don't know how to put it without sounding like a negative troglodyte, like
just let it go and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, it just seemed as though, like the Ghostbusters movie, there were a couple of scenes where I understand the point is woman power, and that's awesome, that's super great, and I'm here for it, but it had almost a,
it was too snarky, on the nose.
Kind of snarky, too- kind of. It's like I said, I'm having trouble putting it into words, but you know what I mean. It's like, it hit it, but it wasn't quite...
It didn't feel as organic. Like, yes. Like the, you should smile.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, yeah, that's a thing.
That's
but
a thing.
You didn't... You
it's super didn't, on the nose.
Yeah, it was super on the nose.
Yeah.
It's not wrong.
Yeah.
But it's also didn't feel organic to the film.
Right. Okay, the Ghostbusters movie, the villain is...
Man-child.
Slubby man-child, who's like, you can't be Ghostbusters because men be better. And in this, we have Jude Law, who is basically saying...
Debate me over and over.
And because it hit it so on the nose, like...
Well, I love the part where he's like, you know, no fireworks, fight me man to man.
I mean, that
like,
was funny.
No. Yeah. Like, no. Why would I do that?
That was really funny. And I'm glad. And it was a great scene, but it just seemed, everything seemed a little bit too much on the nose. And it goes back to the Wonder Woman thing, where I think that they were able to point the point across more organically and not quite as literal.
Well, and it works better for Wonder Woman because she is a different kind of character.
That's true.
I mean, she's a goddess and she does everything perfect, kind of.
Kind of.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't like that. But, I don't like what I just said, but.
Yeah, that's not quite
there. I don't want to say she has more depth. That she's just a different kind of person. That Wonder Woman can be everything for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of who she is.
And in this, they're kind of
Carol
making Carol everything for everyone.
Even though Carol's more of a punk. Well, there's a quote from Kelly Sue that I really liked that said, Captain America gets back up to fight more because it's the right thing to do. Captain Marvel gets back up and fights more because F you, that's why. And that's who Carol is.
And that's great.
And it shows in the movie, like in those flashbacks when she's a little girl and people are telling her, you can't do this. And she's like, screw you, yes I can. That's Carol, and that's not... She doesn't have the warmth of like a Wonder Woman, and I don't know.
A part of it, she doesn't need it, but man, I don't.
I feel like we're just saying words and we've dug a very deep hole and found no point.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, the one person that's on this show that I really kind of wanted the opinion of this movie from is not here today.
Yeah.
Because.
Yeah. Because here we are.
I mean, here.
We're two 30-year-old white dudes talking about a movie that's extensively not for us.
It's not for us. But anyway, yeah, just because we're kind of talking about these kind of criticisms, I guess, of the film doesn't necessarily mean that it's a bad movie. It's really good.
Oh, it's
and
fantastic
I mean, everyone
movie.
Should go see it. I want to go see it again because going back and seeing it a second time with the kind of brand new shine kind of taken off of it and kind of go in and really analyze it, I think that'll do it some good. For my opinion on it. And
yeah, we'll probably hit it again.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, that was Captain Marvel. You should all go see it. It's really good. And it absolutely is required viewing for Endgame.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
I mean, she's a big part of it.
She's like an integral part of it.
I thought that Ant-Man was going to be the linchpin, but it very much seems like Captain Marvel is actually going to be the linchpin. Mm-hmm.
Although I've heard Ant-Man and the Wasp is also required viewing.
Also, that movie is very good.
It's, yeah, it should be anyways. It's really good.
I saw that one twice.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I wish they would do more with the Wasp. I wish they gave Evangeline Lilly more things to do.
Because she's really cool. She's really cool and good. Suit design is rad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She should have been in Avengers.
I agree. Originally. It should have been Ant-Man that got dusted.
Oh, you mean like in the new movie?
Yeah.
Not the first Avengers.
She should have been in the first one.
Well, she was supposed to be. She's like in the storyboards and stuff.
Yeah.
But then like they didn't do it because they didn't set up Ant-Man or anything.
Well, listen, Cody, we've been talking a lot. Josh, do you have anything to check out?
I watched the entire new season of Archer.
Oh, cool.
Danger Island or whatever.
Yeah. Is it good?
It's weird.
Yeah, well, it's Archer.
I know, but it's weird.
It's late season Archer.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're going full bore with the whole alternate dimension, Elseworld coma dreams or whatever it is.
Why not? That's what you have to do to keep it fresh. Do it.
Well, yeah. Like, Dreamland was post-World War II, like...
Detective?
L.A., mm-hmm. And this one is just before World War II on some tropical island.
Danger Island.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Apparently under, I don't want to say French occupation, but it's under it falls under the umbrella of the French government.
Okay.
It's like a Polynesian island.
Okay, cool.
And Ray's character is some French dude. He's like a police officer or something, like police chief of this little island. It's so weird seeing like different characters like in such weird. Krieger's a parrot. Like, he talks in, like, full, like, sentences and stuff, and everyone's like, parrots don't... It's like, why does the bird talk? He goes, because he's a parrot. Like, but he'll, like, comment on things and go, right?
That's awesome.
It's so weird.
Yeah, I'm glad that they've just taken Archer and just gone off the rails with it.
Yeah, they're just playing with the characters like they're a cast, like a theater troupe.
Yeah,
pretty much at this point.
That's really fun and interesting.
Yeah.
I'd like to see him do that with Always Sunny.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. Yeah.
Because those characters are so strong. Like, we want to see them put in different weird situations,
mm-hmm.
which is why Archer works this way. It has a bunch of strong, really well-defined characters, and you want to see them bounce off each other in different situations and settings.
I can't think of another show that does something like that. Like, each season has the same cast, but is completely... different storyline.
Yeah. American Horror Story?
I guess that kind of counts. Yeah, it's a good idea. I would like to see more shows kind of do that,
mm-hmm.
especially as they get laid into their runs
and
start running out of ideas,
mm-hmm.
which I haven't watched Always Sunny in like a long time, but they gotta be getting to that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't really watched it in a minute. I've been thinking about going back, but I'm like, I'm already watching like 100 of the things.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think they should have done that with the fourth season of Arrested Development.
I thought this was going to kind of pop up into a situation like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in the back of my head, I'm like, Sam's going to say it's like Arrested Development.
I mean, it's a very good show.
It has the same, like, really strong, well-defined characters that would be funny in different situations.
Mm-hmm.
Archer shares pretty much a character.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. God, she's so funny. Yeah. Jessica Walters. She's great.
Yeah, go see a Star Wars
game. Go see a Star Wars.
Oh, man. Yeah, but man, Danger Island, it was a weird one. Cyril's a German agent from...
Oh, that's right. Chris Parnell is on that show, isn't he? That's what he's doing.
Yeah, when he's not... When he's not
Jerry.
Oh, when he's not Jerry. Yeah, that's true.
Or every fish man in Hotel Transylvania 3.
Or that insurance box.
I was going to say the progressive insurance box. God, what a weird career trajectory that guy's had.
Yeah.
I mean, it works for him.
I mean, it pays the bills.
He's got more money and he's more famous than me.
Good point. Oh, I really liked him in Hot Rod, the AM radio guy.
God, I love that movie.
I've never seen that movie.
Oh, you gotta see that movie.
It's great. It's weird. But I love it.
That's what I've heard. I've heard it's an odd one.
Yeah. What's his name? Bill Hader is probably my favorite.
Yeah. I'm Rod and I'm here to party.
Nobody parties but me.
Yeah. If you haven't seen that movie, you should definitely. Yeah.
He shows her to the island. And I guess the whole MacGuffin of the movie or of the season is there's like this tribal idol like hidden in a temple in the jungle somewhere. And a certain German leader wants it.
Mm, I see.
And Lana's like some... tribal princess who's like acclimated to like modern life or whatever. And oh, you mean the Charlie Chaplin looking guy? He's like, don't call him that.
That reminds me, I picked up JoJo again.
Oh, you did?
And I just
watched... You mean with the world's nicest Nazi? Yeah.
Well, I just watched the one where he's fighting, I think it's cars.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That German soldier turns out to be a robot.
Yeah, he's part robot.
It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. I love the first two arcs of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Like when it was like still a fighting anime.
It's still kind of a fighting anime, yeah, as you get going.
Yeah.
It just turns into spirit Pokemon fighting each other.
There's a little video on the internet where they talk about, like, when they talk about JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, because where they learn special breathing to fight the vampires until they teach the ghosts to do it.
It feels like a show I should not like. I'm like, this is the dumbest crap I've ever seen,
but it's so good.
But yeah. But it comes back around to being like, this is so ridiculous that...
Mm-hmm. Like, especially the whole Joseph arc is so goofy.
Oh, just wait till you get to later seasons with Giorno.
Oh, I am. I'm in that season.
Oh, it's... Yeah.
The show is just like two buff guys telling each other what they're going to do, and then they do it, and then it either works or it doesn't.
Pretty much.
Or you think something really bad happened, but then you're like, but actually, this is what I did to keep that from happening.
Yeah. It sounds like 2 6-year-olds playing on the playground. Like, well, you can't do that because I have a special armor that blocks your bullets, so it bounced off of me.
I could stop time.
Yeah.
But I have a force field.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's named after a rock song. This is Cheap Trick.
Oh, man.
Actually, I think Cheap Trick is an actual...
Yeah,
Cheap Trick,
that's the thing.
Cheap Trick is a...
There was a point when JoJo and cars were falling off of a cliff, and they're like, we only have 5 seconds before we hit the ground. And they continued to fall for a solid 4 or 5 minutes. In showtime, it was... At least 5 minutes,
it's so
they
dumb.
Were still falling.
Yeah, it's so dumb, but I love it. Oh, man, the stand King Crimson is nuts. Like, his power, like, he can cut out the time that it takes for you to make a decision to do something, and you jump directly to the result.
Well, what about...
That is absurd.
Like, the way he demonstrated it was... All of a sudden, one of the characters had a red lollipop in his mouth because he cut out the part where the guy put the red lollipop into his mouth.
Well, what about in the season right before Giorgino?
Was it Steel Ball Run or Diamond is Unbreakable?
Diamond is Unbreakable. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's another thing. Steel Ball Run is Cannonball Run.
It's Cannonball Run. Yeah. Pretty much.
What's his face? Okamatsu or whatever has his stand like erases space or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yep.
He can like pull things closer to him by erasing the space.
Erasing the space in between. Yeah.
Or he can just erase something on a piece of paper and it was never there.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
It's so weird.
It's so great though.
When people make fun of dumb things the anime does, this is that show.
This is that show. It's dumb things the anime. Yeah.
It's even dumb things for anime though.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I enjoy it, whereas I don't normally enjoy anime. This is like, I love the dumb, ridiculous, stupid stuff.
When Joseph is training with Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the whole thing in dub, so it's all weird. Not dub.
Oh,
but
the dub is awful.
I've
been watching the dub,
mm-hmm.
and it makes it funnier because the dub is really bad.
Yeah. But I watched it in sub, and when he peeks on her in the bath, and he's all like, nice. But then, spoiler alert, it's really creepy later.
Yeah.
There's good reason for that to not be so nice.
Like worse than like Luke and Leia kissing.
But let's go ahead and take a break here, and when we get back, we'll talk about some news. Hey, we're back. That was Just a Girl by No Doubt. So we played that because Captain Marvel. It seemed like a slam dunk.
Yeah. It's a great song too. I love Lisa, No Doubt.
Oh yeah, definitely. Although Spiderwebs, I actually like that one. It's
better,
probably my favorite.
Better song.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Yeah.
Tragic Kingdom, good album. Yeah.
Their early stuff where they were an actual ska band with like a horn section and stuff in the background. I like that too. But then again, I'm a sucker for ska. So. Anyway, let's get into a little bit of news. First up, we have on the list, let's just talk about some Nintendo stuff.
They did a big like half hour long indie presentation for all the indie games coming to the Switch. And there are a lot of really good looking indie games coming to the Switch.
A lot. I don't usually pay real close attention to a lot of indies, but there was some good stuff here. A lot more than we could probably list off and get through in this
episode. Yeah, we got a lot of other stuff to cover. We're not going to do
What are some of the highlights? I know for me, Cuphead coming over to the Switch was a really big one.
Seems like it should be a bigger deal than it is because that's an Xbox exclusive.
Yeah.
And PC, but all Xbox games are also on PC.
PC, yeah. But yeah, that's a big deal. Not only does Cuphead really kind of seem like it lends itself to being a mobile game really, really well.
Yeah, especially with the two-player Joy-Cons on one, that would work really well for Cuphead.
Mm-hmm. It also, like you mentioned, it's a really big deal just in the fact that it's being played on something other than a Microsoft system.
It's just like Microsoft really doesn't care about having exclusives anymore. Like, and I don't know why.
I don't know. But not only does it make me more interested in seeing what else Microsoft brings over to the Switch.
Please bring Sea of Thieves, please.
It makes it that much more likely that I think we're going to see Banjo-Kazooie
in Smash Brothers. In Smash. Yeah, it seems more likely now than it ever has.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. What were some of the other indie titles?
Oh, let's see. There was the one from the folks at Double Fine, Tim Schafer's studio. It's called Rad.
Rad, that looks really good.
It's very, mutant kind of adventure game, but kind of like Zelda-esque, I guess,
mm-hmm.
mutant type
game. A little bit, yeah.
Where you get different body parts and monster parts and stuff and go on some sort of adventure, I suppose.
And the animation looks really, really nice and clean and fluid, and it's all bright neon. Like, it has a very 80s, early 90s
aesthetic.
It reminds
me of Turbo Kid.
Yes, a lot like Turbo Kid. Yeah.
It's being directed by Lee Petty, the guy that did Headlander, and Headlander was a really good game. So this should be pretty good, too.
Yeah, cool.
I'm really excited about Castle Crashers.
That wasn't in the presentation, but they did recently announce that Castle Crashers is getting remastered and coming out on the Switch, which it's perfect for the Switch.
Sure.
Well, remastered again.
Because they didn't do a remaster.
They did for Xbox One.
You sure that wasn't just the same game?
Well, supposedly it was a remaster because they added in the whole barbarian update thing. Either way, I love Castle Crashers. I used to play it a lot.
It's a good beat 'em up.
It's a great beat 'em up.
There's not a lot of great beat 'em ups, but this is one of them.
Mm-hmm. Also, the fact that Behemoth said they're working on their fifth game, and I'm like, man, they get weirder and weirder with each one.
I never played their. What was their last one? Was Pit People?
Yeah, Pit People was pretty neat.
It looked neat.
Mm-hmm.
They're a good studio. I like those guys.
Yeah. Did you see the trailer for Fist?
No.
Okay, so it is a game in which it has a very Final Fantasy VII art aesthetic. I think it's being called Diesel Punk, which I think is kind of a neat.
That's a good
description
of
for
Final
it.
Fantasy VII.
Yeah,
too.
But you're basically this anthropomorphic rabbit, kind of like Usagi Yojimbo, but you have a giant robot fist that is attached to your back, like a big robot thing that you punch.
So
with
Midna's hair?
A little bit, yeah. And you're beating up a bunch of, it's a beat 'em up basically. And at the end of the trailer, the fist turned into a giant drill. So it has upgrade and morphing ability kind of things. And it just, the aesthetic looks really cool. Again, neon lights, sparking and it just looks like Final Fantasy VII basically. But I like that, the look of that. So, yeah.
That Iditarod dog.
That looks interesting.
That game looked really cool. It was called Red Lantern.
Red Lantern, yeah.
And very obviously Ashley Birch's voice in there.
Oh, yeah.
But it looks kind of cool. Did they say it had roguelike elements? I don't know.
Almost have to.
I feel like throwing the words roguelike out there are just a way to get people excited about indie games. No, I'm serious, because I can't tell you how many indie games I see with roguelike elements.
Yeah, they're way overused now.
Yeah.
If
by
they're
rogue,
used to...
roguelike, we mean procedurally generated? Is that,
yeah.
Yeah. Basically,
there's an element of randomization.
It's randomization,
involved.
Yeah.
I don't remember if it said it had it or not, because a lot of them did.
It would be neat if it did.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like the type of game that would, I guess.
But it's about finishing the Iditarod, which is a cool concept for a game. And it had a cool graphic style, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like it told a good story. So that one looked cool.
Ooh, from the makers of the Tomb of the Necrodancer.
I was going to save that one for last.
Oh.
I don't know. We might be done.
We might be done with them for now, yeah.
I'm excited about it.
Katana Zero looked really cool. That was the Samurai Rewind Time.
Oh, yeah. That does look pretty good.
It looks like Hotline Miami, but a platformer. And mm-hmm. I'm here for that because sure. I loved Hotline Miami. And I also like cool samurais.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited for that one.
Yep.
I feel like I'm forgetting a good one.
Oh, I'm sure we're missing them.
Well,
but...
let's just get the elephant out of the room.
Yeah.
The guys who made Tomb of the Necrodancer, which was this weird...
Crypt of the Necrodancer.
Or Crypt of the Necrodancer. Yeah, Crypt of the Necrodancer. This weird music beat game that was...
Roguelike?
Roguelike,
which
yeah.
Which it is. That one definitely is.
Also with like dungeon crawling elements where you're fighting monsters to the beat of the music. It's a weird little game. Anyway, for some reason, they're putting out, it's called The Cadence of Hyrule, and it's Zelda-themed with some of the characters from Crypt of the Necrodancer in it.
Yeah.
And that's cool.
The full title, I think, is Cadence of Hyrule, Crypt of the Necrodancer featuring The Legend of Zelda, which is a mouthful.
It is kind of a mess.
I mean, yeah, it's like a rap album.
Yeah. Which, Zelda has some good music, mm-hmm. and that... remix of whatever song that was that they played in the trailer is awesome.
It is.
So I'm excited for it just for the music alone.
Mm-hmm.
The sprite art is also gorgeous.
It's also
too.
Very, very good.
Oh yeah. I mean, it looks so good. I'm super excited about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's probably the first like side Zelda game I've been excited about for a long time.
It's kind of super a big deal to see Nintendo let an indie developer use one of their franchises, and also that franchise is Zelda.
Yeah, they're letting someone else play with their toys.
Yeah, and not like Ubisoft. This is just some dudes from Canada that made a cool game.
Yeah,
and
this
now
is no Hyrule
Zelda.
Warriors. This is like, yeah, this is a big deal.
I hope they continue to do it. I would love to see, I don't know, Edmund McMillan's Super Mario Brothers.
I was just going to say Yacht Club's Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
Oh,
Yacht
man.
Club's
that would be,
Kid Icarus.
Oh, that would be really good.
Kid Icarus featuring Shovel Knight.
Yeah. Honestly, they would fit right in there.
The guys who did Guacamelee makes a Metroid.
Makes a Metroid, yeah.
Yeah, because it's basically a Metroid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I love Guacamelee. That's a great game. I should actually finish that game.
Yeah.
I still need to play the second one.
I haven't played the second one either. I never finished the first one. Guacametroid.
Where Samus is a luchador?
Guacamelee 3... I forget the main character's name in Guacamelee.
Juan.
Well, yeah. Juan of SR388, Guacamelee featuring Metroid, Super Metroid.
Guacamelee Prime.
Yeah, there we go.
This is the strongest showing of indie games I've seen in a long time out of Nintendo. Like, this is good stuff.
Yeah, well, you know, this is the first indie direct that they've done in 2019, and it seems like they've really just kind of sat and saved up on like everything,
like all the good stuff,
mm-hmm.
and almost all of it was like new stuff that we'd never heard of before.
Yeah, almost no ports, which is surprising.
Yeah,
especially for the Switch,
especially since we've got a lot of them come out in April, which is great because Nintendo's got nothing.
Yeah,
there are no major first party releases through all of April.
What is the next first party release? The
next one is Yoshi's Crafted World.
Eh.
Mm. Which actually, I was kind of on it, but I played the demo and actually really loved it. So,
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, cool. It's a Yoshi game, and
sure.
I do like those. But
yeah.
The way it works, playing through the level again with a different angle on it is mm-hmm. a cool concept.
It does seem like a cool gimmick. Sure.
And there's different, like, one of them play through it again at a different angle and find 3 Poochies.
Mm.
And that's kind of neat. Or find 3 just hidden objects in the background.
Oh, that's cool.
Try the demo. I mean, it's free. It's only one level.
Yeah.
And I was pleasantly surprised. I really liked Woolly World there, too. So your mileage may vary. I don't know.
Yeah. Hey, isn't that a giant robot one coming out sometime soon, too? The one that's basically Armored Core?
Oh, Daemon X Machina?
Yeah.
I think.
Okay.
I never played the demo of it. I just never got around to it.
I've heard it's really good, and there's a whole element of... you can pop your character out of the mech and run around just as a person. And as you add upgrades to the person, you lose humanity.
Huh.
That sort of thing. So it seems like there's going to be elements of like humanity versus being a machine kind of thing.
It seems like a game that will be right up my alley.
Yeah.
I'm definitely interested in it when mm-hmm. it comes out. I don't mm-hmm. know why I didn't play the demo. And
I think you can still download the demo.
Can you still?
I think so. I think
it's
still up.
I'm going to have to get around to it.
Yeah. And I mean, play through the demo and then they actually ask you what you thought of it. And I think they're still partially developing parts of it. So, yeah. Well, moving on from the indies, but not quite off of Nintendo, Konami actually had a bunch of announcements.
They announced a bunch of retro collections of old games, which, great, bring them on.
That's great.
They're doing a Castlevania one.
Yeah. Honestly, that's the good one.
That's the
That's the best one.
That's going to have 8 games in it. They only announced 4 of them.
Mm.
And they're like your 4 basic starter Castlevanias.
Yeah. So, okay, speculation time. What are the other 4?
Oh, I don't know. It's a tough call because they did just re-release
Rondo and Symphony.
Yeah. So I don't know if they're going to double dip on that or not. I hope they do. Yeah. Because they didn't release that on the Switch.
This would be the first time those games would be available on the Nintendo console.
I would love to play Symphony of the Night on my Switch. So.
Yeah, same here. I think I wouldn't be surprised if the one with Soma Cruz, what's the...
Oh.
The Game Boy Advance one.
Yeah, I forget what it's called, but definitely.
Yeah, that one seems like a lock. There's 2 of those, but I think there's one that's good and the other one is...
More of the same.
What if they put Castlevania 64 on there?
You know, I'd kind of be stoked.
Yeah.
I kind of want to play that.
Yeah.
Well, they put the PlayStation 2 one that's goofy as all get out on there. Lament of Innocence. Which I think is an all right game. I think it got a rough... I can't think of the word.
Was that the 3D one?
Yeah. I'll Kill You and the Night. That one.
Oh, what if they just put the fighting game?
Judgment.
Yeah. Ooh, that was rough.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Like, it was fun just to play
fun for what it is.
Goofy fighting game, but yeah. It was also, yeah, it was not great.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun to see the Death Note guy redesign a lot of the characters.
Yeah. I honestly think there's a chance that Symphony of the Night and Rondo of Blood will end up on there, if for no other reason than Richter being in Smash.
Well,
and Richter Belmont is the main character of that.
Honestly, like, the most important Castlevania games are probably Dracula's Curse,
mm-hmm.
Rondo of Blood,
mm-hmm.
and Symphony of the Night.
Those are the ones. Yeah.
So those ones, I imagine, to have a complete collection, I think you'd need those ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the other two that, what are they going to be? I think Belmont's Revenge was on there, which is a weird pull.
That's a weird one.
Game Boy one.
Yeah.
I hope Order of Ecclesia... Alessia?
Was Simon's Quest on there?
I think so.
Yeah.
But that's like the last DS one they did,
mm-hmm.
with the girl with a tattoo on her back. That was a really good one, and I hope that's in there.
Yeah. All right, well, hey, moving on from that, they also did a Contra collection.
Which, yep.
Heck yeah, Contra rules.
Contra's pretty great.
It'll probably have, what, 1, 2? Well, I mean...
Super Contra.
Contra, Super Contra, Super C.
Yeah.
I hope it has the Way Forward's Contra 4.
That'd be cool.
Because that was really good.
Mm.
Will it have the weird PlayStation Contra Legacy of War? They announced the 4, just like they did with Castlevania, they announced 4
of them.
And I don't know what they are. I'm going to look them up real quick.
Well, while you're looking those up, the other one was, it's like a shooter.
Yeah, it's called their arcade collection or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a collection of different bullet hell style games.
Yeah, yeah, the side-scrolling, or the top-scrolling shooter types.
Yeah. Which I can't remember the names of any of them. Not that many people know them because no one really plays that genre
again. Like, Gradius was in there, and there was like...
I don't think Gradius was in there.
Maybe not Gradius, but like that style of game.
I'll read to you right now what's going to be on there.
Okay.
Haunted Castle, which takes that out of being in the Castlevania collection.
Yeah.
That's like the proto-Castlevania.
Right.
A game called Ajax.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that is.
Gradius. Francis.
Gradius 2.
Hmm.
Life Force. Thundercross, Scramble, and Twinbee.
Twinbee, yeah, there we go.
So those are all really good. If you like shmup games, those are all good ones.
Twinbee's hard. Twinbee.
That's the one with the bells, right?
Yeah, that one pisses me off.
You can play that on the NES online thing, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Contra games are the arcade version of Contra, the arcade version of Super Contra, Super C for the NES, and Contra 3, The Alien Wars for Super NES.
Okay.
Oh, man, I remember Alien Wars. I used to play that one all the time.
Yeah, that's probably one of the best ones.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it has Contra Hardcore, the Genesis one, because that rules.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there's a couple of PlayStation 2 Contras that are really good.
Yeah, that would be really awesome if we can get those.
Another Castlevania one they should have is the Genesis one of that Castlevania Bloodlines.
Oh, yeah,
That one's really good.
That is pretty good, yeah.
So... all good. Good job, Konami, for doing something that doesn't suck for once.
That's not a pachinko machine.
Yeah, I mean, that's a little negative and harsh, but I mean,
it's, come on.
Yeah. They deserve everything they get.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's actually...
Why isn't there a Metal Gear collection, you guys?
Actually, there was.
Why aren't they doing it right now?
Yeah.
There was one, and it was on the PlayStation 3.
No, there was a PlayStation 2 box set that had Solid 2 and 3 in it. I own it.
Yeah.
I own more than one copy of Snake Eater because of it.
All right. Well, hey, let's step away from games for just a minute because we're running a little short on time. But let's talk about some movies.
Some hot movie news.
Some hot movie news. First up, Bill and Ted 3.
Bill and Ted Face the Music.
It's actually going to happen. I think it's actually going to happen.
Yeah.
They're Keanu filming Reeves it like this summer.
Alex Winter did a little that's his name, right?
Alex Winter. Alex Winter.
Did a little video where they're like, hey, I guess we're going to do it this summer.
Yeah. And Keanu Reeves was very floppy. He was like, yeah, so we're going to do the movie. I guess, maybe. We're going to film it.
He kind of slid into a character.
He did a little bit, yeah. It was weird. He looked like John Wick, but he acted like Ted Theodore Logan. Yeah. It was very jarring.
I'm so stoked for this movie.
Me too.
It should have happened like forever ago.
It should have happened like 15 years ago.
It should be such a gimme.
But for a movie franchise that is based around time travel, you can really film a sequel whenever you want.
Yeah.
Because time travel.
I tell you though, like Keanu Reeves hasn't really aged too much.
That's because he's a vampire. But...
Neither is Alex Winter. He looks almost the same.
I don't know.
They're vampires, guys.
That's it.
I thought his face looked a little bit...
There's a picture of like an old-timey painting where it looks exactly like Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
So he's a vampire, like Nicolas Cage.
And I mean, Alex Winter was in The Lost Boys.
So he was a vampire.
I forgot about that.
He was one of the random vampire boys.
One of the Lost Boys.
Yeah, that's it.
And Captain Hook showed up.
I'm a vampire.
You know, I had the pleasure to explain that movie to my girlfriend.
Vampire's Kiss. Oh, Vampire's Kiss is the greatest film ever made.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
I would say it's probably a worse movie than Troll 2.
I would say, yeah.
It's like up there. Like, the choices they make in Vampire's Kiss are as equally baffling as they are in Troll 2.
Yeah.
Oh my God, when he chases a receptionist around his office.
Where he yells the alphabet.
Yeah.
And not just like a couple letters. The entire alphabet.
All 26 letters.
Yep.
If we had time, I would say edit that in right now, but we probably won't have the time.
We might. We'll see. We'll see what I can do.
How could somebody misfile something? What could be easier? It's all alphabetical. You just put it in the right file according to alphabetical order. You know, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z! Huh? That's all you have to do!
All right, let's move on to some other movie stuff. So, the Suicide Squad movie that was originally announced as kind of a sequel, it's not a sequel, as it turns out. It's a reboot.
They're rebooting it already.
Yeah, it's has been less than...
We're going to reach...
Like 5 years?
Reach the ultimate point where they're announcing movies and their reboots simultaneously.
At the same time, yeah. Like...
Don't call it a comeback. The first one was bad.
Yeah, like... I mean, I'm all for giving movies a do-over if they do a bad job, but this just seems a little soon.
That's how I felt about the remake of Death at a Funeral.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they were so close together, 2 years apart maybe.
And even for people who thought that Spider-Man Homecoming was too close to Spider-Man 2, like this is like way crazier. Yeah.
Which, I mean, I guess the first one was like real...
It was bad. It was bad. I mean, you know, they were going to use it as a springboard for their Joker movie and like spin off all their other characters and stuff.
But
now that's not going to happen. They're going to recast everyone. I guess they've already cast Idris Elba as Deadshot.
Are they going to recast Margot Robbie?
See, that's the thing. I don't know what they're going to do with that.
Because, I really wouldn't want them to.
Well, they're already halfway through filming the
Birds of Prey
movie that is a direct spinoff of the first Suicide Squad movie. Yeah. So we could potentially have a spinoff of a previous movie followed the next year by its reboot.
That's some X-Men logic right there.
Yeah, and I felt like of the things that worked in Suicide Squad, Margot Robbie was probably one of them. Yeah,
she was one of the few things that actually worked.
Although I'm excited that James Gunn kind of gets carte blanche to do it right. Yeah. I mean, if anybody can make a good Suicide Squad movie, it's James Gunn. It seems right up his alley.
Look at Guardians of the Galaxy. Speaking of which, he's back on Guardians 3.
Yeah. So we've got James Gunn's out here working both sides of the superhero world.
He is hustling. I tell you what, he's working three sides because he has Guardians 3, The Suicide Squad, which is that's what they're calling it, The Suicide Squad, to differentiate it because it's so different, and Brightburn.
Which is his own thing.
Which is his own thing. Like
he could potentially have his own cinematic universe.
He really could.
The James Gunn cinematic universe.
Yeah.
When he comes out with Bad Bat, the sequel to Brightburn, Bad Bat, where it's like Batman, but he's bad.
But he's a bad Batman, yeah.
So they call him Bad Bat.
Isn't that just Owlman?
Well, I mean, evil Superman is not a thing they've never done before either.
I wonder if in Brightburn they're going to make a reference to Rainn Wilson as...
Super?
Crimson...
Something.
We're talking about a split situation here.
We're kind of talking about
secret...
A secret spinoff.
Yeah.
Same universe sort of situation. Yeah. Let's see. Do we have any other movie?
We should probably hit this Google thing real quick.
Yeah, let's
kind of burn up the internet.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that.
Google announced their own like gaming platform. It's not a console, but it's a service where they're going to stream games at you.
Mm-hmm.
They're making a big deal about it.
Kind of what PlayStation Now is.
Yeah, it is. It's exactly what PlayStation Now is and what OnLive was.
Yeah.
But they're acting like it's this. They had this brand new genius idea for streaming video games, and it has their own, like, Google... Did I say what it's called? It's called Google Stadia. That's what they're calling the service. And it has its own little controller, which looks like a DualShock PlayStation controller.
Yeah.
An ugly one, too.
Yeah. It's a good idea. I mean, people don't want to drop $300 for a game console or thousands of dollars on a powerful PC to run these games at full 4K resolutions.
Yeah.
But the internet infrastructure of the country we live in does not support the bandwidth to stream 4K video.
Yeah, I'm really concerned about the feasibility of... I mean, unless Google's decided that they want to... extend their Google fiber optic like
to everyone
nationwide.
Yeah, it's not gonna work.
Oh man, I'd be all about that though.
Well, yeah,
I'd be down.
Yeah, same here.
Heck yeah,
but
I think they said you need like 25 megabits per second.
Yeah, well, I couldn't do it.
Yeah, exactly. Most people couldn't do it.
Yeah,
you have to live in like a big city or something to get that kind of pipes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, unless you want to spend a couple hundred bucks here in town.
Yeah.
Like, Marion would just be totally locked out of this.
And I mean, Google is building a data center like literally an hour away. So we would be close to those fat Google pipes where this
We'd
game
be close,
would
but we wouldn't be getting it.
Yeah. It's just not, I don't think it's feasible.
It's the center staring at us from its side of the fence.
And I don't understand why they think it's going to work so well, being that people have tried it before. You know, OnLive was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Gaikai was a thing. PlayStation Now continues to be a thing, and it's not burning up the.
It's honestly not that
world.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I have it. It's not great.
I mean, listen, if anyone's going to pull it off,
it's Google.
It's Google. So I guess they have an extra step in the right direction. But yeah, I'm very suspect about it. I probably won't get it because I'm not gonna take the chances of buying like the data whatever. And not be able to use it.
Yeah, and well, then you don't own anything. Games you buy on it.
That's the other thing. I don't. I'm weird, and I still like physical because what happens if all of a sudden your internet goes down, or they decide that a game that you bought is no longer going to be available for whatever reason?
The Wii eShop. Yeah. Didn't call it the eShop. WiiWare, whatever. WiiWare. That's gone. You can't if you bought any of those. Time's up.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know.
I trust Steam.
Sure.
And that's about it. Like,
and I mean, I don't even trust Steam that much.
Yeah.
honestly.
I mean, it's made so much money now, it's not going anywhere.
True. That's true.
But, stuff like Xbox Live games, when they transferred over to Xbox One, they didn't have backwards compatibility at first. That kind of sucked.
Yeah.
I mean, they eventually did it with most of the games, but...
I don't know. I'm just not real
too many
hyped
balls
on this one.
In the air on this one right now. They haven't said enough. If it was, like, super cheap.
Mm-hmm.
But also, there's a lot of genres where this just won't work for because you need frame-perfect input. And
fighting games, this would not work for you.
Rhythm games won't work either because you need frame-perfect input.
Yeah.
And when you're streaming to a data center and back, your input's not going to be.
Always
there's going to
be
a delay.
There's always going to be a couple seconds lag.
Even if you don't totally notice it, it's still going to be there.
Yeah. Yep. So thank you all for tuning in. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at Nerd Overload Now.
You can send us an email, staff@nerdoverload.com, with your ideas and stuff you want us to talk about. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel, which has content on it.
New content!
Sam's been hard at work making videos for you.
I've been streaming those games. Come guys, watch me play video games badly.
Watch him play Zelda for our new podcast, Nerd Overload Super Game Club, coming soon.
Coming very soon, yes.
I'm kind of doing a comic a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
I might as well mention it.
Sure.
Fett got fired. Twitter.com/Fett got fired.
Yeah, they're pretty funny. It's pretty good. I like where the story's going. I'm curious to see where it goes from there. You can also find this show on all sorts of places. You can find podcasts online, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, a whole bunch of other places. And we also have sell t-shirts, bit.ly/nerdoverloadt. That's T-E-E. Working on some more designs, still plugging away at that. Hopefully here in the next week or so, we'll have something up there. And yeah, I think that pretty well covers everything. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Peace out.
Yeah,
that's the thing. I say peace out.
Yeah.
Bye.
Peace out.